you agree that we debate with the conversation?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Department of Home Affairs. We will start with the introduction. My name is Honorable Busisiwe Mncube. I'm from Gauteng.
I'm Omar Buruto, the whip of the committee from Mpumalanga.
Good morning, everybody. I'm
Good
morning, everybody. My name is Michael from the Chief
Department. Good morning. My name is Michael Davilius. I'm from the Eastern Cape. Good morning. My name is Willem Torben, and I represent the Northern Cape province.
Thanks. Can we have introductions from the department?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members. My name is Kusela Puyo. Thank you for Home Affairs.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Wilson Kevin, DDG for State of Service.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. My name is Abra Williamson, and I'm DDG for HR.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Riong Piu from the planning.
Good morning, Mr. Adani, Department of Affairs, Parliamentary Affairs, and Economic Affairs.
Good
morning, I'm Shmuel White, I'm the Research Board of the Committee.
Good morning, I'm Tulisile Ganyaza Twala, content advisor. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we have apologies from the committee?
Thank you very much. I have a letter in front of me that Mrs. Mahate, who is also a member of this committee, will not be in this meeting today. Because of other commitments within the province. And the other one is the one for Honorable Gunda. He won't be here today because there is another committee where he has got to go and attend, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Those are the two, including the one of the chairperson, of course, who has been on sick leave since last week. I think until the 10th. Thank you.
The other apology is of the Honorable Masha Maike, who has a bereft brother. Thanks. Can we then get the presentation, DJ?
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Our presentation is split into two. We deal with the strategic plan and as well as the budget of the department. Chair, the outline of the presentation will cover what is the role of DSA in the state and the society, and will give the overview of the performance for 2010-2011 financial year and what were the strategic responses to the key challenges.
Yeah.
Yes, no, sorry for that, Chair. I should have given that apology for the Minister. The Minister has got another commitment in the department, Chair, which has been mandated by the President to deal with it. So also has indicated that I must make that apology for her child. Sorry for forgetting that. Because I'm just getting to the presentation.
Also, I'm not sure whether you did give us the hard copies, but also the original, not the slides, and the presentation results, finding them here, which we would appreciate to have them 7 days before we come to the presentation. Otherwise, it gives us difficulties to interact, to follow you, to listen and engage you so that you are able to debate. Thanks, Ichi.
Sorry, I want to check with the parliamentary lines in officer because this was supposed to have been sent. So I want to check that my understanding was.
Honourable members, we circulated the budget part of the presentation on the front part of the presentation on Friday.
Again, Friday we are not here. It's joint committees only that are here, and I was also here working on Friday. I didn't get them. Even if it's Friday, it's very late. We're just getting them here. We don't need even the original, not the slides. We must have the slides and the original one. Friday is also not accepted. Thank you. Hello, Faba?
With due respect, the portfolio committee already had this a long time ago, so there's no excuse that we couldn't have had this already at least 2 weeks ago. For some other reason, every year we talk about this. Every time it's the same thing that the NCOP, and I mean, it's not that it's a new thing. This has been presented to the portfolio committee, so for that I don't understand why we only get it on Friday, why we couldn't already have it a week ago. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir, I think let me apologize. I think that is a true statement. These presentations were done with the portfolio committee in March. So really, I will check with the office why they were not sent, because they were there. There's no change on the presentation which we are doing today as against the one which we did in the portfolio committee. So I will follow up with the office to say that must not happen again, because not a situation that we're preparing them yesterday.
Can we have the presentation done?
And then, still on the outline of the presentation to say, then we will, go to what are the, as we know that there are national outcomes, we want to share with the committee which ones as the Department of Home Affairs were contributing, and then what were the outcomes of the department based on that. We'll also check deal with the commitments of the department in terms of the minister's performance agreement and what other delivery agreements as the department were participating on, and what are the objectives, outputs and targets for 2011 and to 2013, and also deal with the issues of transformation matters within the department. And we'd like also to share with the committee the WMI online issue which we had, and also the budget for 2012 to 2013-14. So in terms of the role of DHA in the state, for the department is to really ensure that all citizens and residents have enabled documents in order to have equal access to rights and services in the interest of development, redress, building democracy and fighting poverty. Further, bring national interest in a globalized and highly competitive world by the facilitation of business and trade and by the strategic acquisition of scarce skills. It's assuring the security of the state. Security is broadly defined as in the Constitution, including the right to peace and stability and the pursuit of a better life. The fight against crime and corruption is a key element in this. Also, we have to support for subject development and cooperation, including through the progressive and secure facilitation of the movement of people and trade, and as well as the transformation of DHA in support of a well-organized state that can lead development and deliver secure, caring, and efficient services. And so what has been the achievement of the department in the 2010 financial year. National Population Registration Campaign was launched on 23rd March 2010 in Limpopo.
Just a minute, DG. Are we all having this presentation?
Yes, one more.
Can I get whatever?
This is just the budget. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, okay.
You got it.
Yeah, they just see each other.
Okay.
Nice one. We can continue.
Saying now that on 23rd March 2010 in Limpopo, the National Population Register campaign was launched by the President and subsequent rollout of the NPR took place. In terms of that, we managed to connect 56 facilities for online birth registration throughout the country, and 946,031 births were registered for the age group 0 to 1 year, which is 87% of the number of births registered. So out of that, 5,524 births were registered within 30 days, which is what we are looking at the department, that we want to get every child to be registered within 30 days. But we managed to get 500 out of that number. And then a total of 1086 births were registered in the 2010-11 financial year. And then 190,091 late registration of birth ID numbers were allocated for age group 15 and above. And one of our targets, Chair, was to make sure that the 16-year-olds are getting their IDs when they turn 16. In that regard, Chair, for 228,759 were issued when they were turning 16, and 49574 to those 16 years and above with a birth certificate, which are the first issues. However, the total number of IDs which were issued in terms of the amount was 216,652 IDs which were issued for 10-11. But our focus, Chair, is making sure that children, when they turn 16, we want them to be able to have their IDs. That's why we're separating that number as a focus. Then, Chair, we also, Chair, out of the one of the processes which we wanted to work with in order to help us to achieve this issue of the National Population Register, as a department, wanted to work with the stakeholder forums, which are formed per municipality. Out of 282 local government structures, 254 has already launched these stakeholder forums, which are assisting the department in delivering this National Population Register campaign. And, Chair, we have already launched the provincial stakeholder in the Eastern Cape, Free State, and KZN. South African Citizenship Amendment Bill 2010, the Birth and Death Registration Amendment Bill, and 2010 Local Government Electoral Amendment Bill has been assented to and signed by the President. Chair, we have a process of making sure that with the issues of fraud which are going in the country, one of the projects which we have was to implement what we call the third-party verification. We have signed an MOU with SASSA and SAPRIC. SAPRIC are the banks, in order for them to have a connectivity with the department so that they can be able to go and check in our database whether that ID is valid or not. And for SASSA, is helping them with regard to the grants to check whether those children are registered against those parents. In terms of the turnaround times for issuing of the IDs for 10-11, what we, on average, were able to issue the first issue ID is at 60 days point 5, and then the reissue was taking 49 point 6 days, and then for passport, if it is manual, was taking on average 24 days, and then if it is a live capture, was taking 12 days. We also managed to open additional 10 service delivery points. I will give the details in terms of where in the 2010-11, and refurbished 24 offices in terms of the look and feel, and also implemented 12 queue management systems, which is assisting the department in terms of understanding when people are in our offices are for what services and all that. So now we've implemented that system in the 12 offices. And the new format of the ID with enhanced security features was introduced in order to help us on the issues of identity theft and fraud. These offices were opened in these areas, which is Bulwa, Inanda, Lindela, Staterem, Atlantis, Mboza, Tulwane, Douglas, Crystal, and Maponya Mall. And the offices which we refurbished in terms of our look and feel, in terms of the corporate image, were these offices which have been listed here. In terms of immigration services, the department contributed successfully to the hosting of the 20th FIFA Soccer World Cup and complied with all 4 guarantees which were signed with the FIFA, which was the making sure that visas are issued to a broad range of persons, including FIFA delegation and commercial affiliates, media representative and foreign visitors. Work permits were being issued to a broad range of persons, were accredited, and prior treatment were provided to FIFA delegation teams and other accredited persons at port of entry. And we also able to develop the information technology which was resided within the Department of Home Affairs, which included the implementation of the enhanced movement control system to the prioritized 34 points of entry. And during that time, we were able, the department, to process 2,387,524 travelers which entered in the country, as compared to 1,119,532 in 2009. And then the Refugee Amendment Bill and the Immigration Amendment Bill are now expected to be finalized by Parliament in the first quarter of this year. Also, Chair, we're able to issue approximately 12,000 skills-related work payments. And the Zimbabwean Document Project, we're able to finalize that in terms of receiving the applications, which will receive about 275,762 applications. Now we're finalizing the processes of those with a time frame of end of July. We also established a centralized adjudication hub in our headquarters for the processing of temporary residence permit and permanent residence permit applications. And the management of permit application was further supported with the implementation of a track and trace system, which was rolled out to all regional offices. We also implemented a visa facilitation services in the in Nigeria, China, and in India, which helps our offices abroad to be able to process the visas. In terms of the counter-corruption, we managed to upgrade our counter-corruption unit from a chief directorate to a branch level. But what is important with that is that we have included now a unit which is working around the issues of vetting and as well as prevention and analysis. And the cases open against officials suspected of fraud and corruption, as we can see now that we are starting to arrest a lot of our officials based on those processes. We did upgrade security features in our birth, marriage and death certificates. And then the IDs, when I was saying we have introduced a new ID, in terms of those IDs now, we no longer paste the photos, it is a photo digitization. and then in terms of the cybercrime, we were part of the development of that together with the Department of Communication. Chair, there is an improvement in the audit report of the department, as in the previous year with the qualification with four matters, but in the last year it was a qualification with one matter, which is assets. And we did look at issues of improving the supervisory capacity and capability in the department. We conducted three leadership forums. And then DSA was rated as number 9 as an employer of choice by this organization called Companies of Future, which says to us there are some improvements in the department. And 2,719 officials were trained on customer care, operational excellence, and needs-based interventions. We engage in a lot of communication interventions in the previous year to bring the message across the population with regard to our focus areas, as the minister appeared on Generations and the Mutswako, so that we can make sure that people understand the issues of registering with the children within 30 days. And there's a new operating model which was approved, Chair, in the 2010-11. What it means is that Home Affairs in the past was operating in a zone structure. That means combining certain provinces under one head. But because of what we understand, that Home Affairs must be close to the people, and also we must follow the structure of the government, which is local, provincial, and national. So now Home Affairs, we've now created the all 9 provinces, and then also we did upgrade our IT in the year. So what has been our challenges and how as a department we're trying to respond to that? One of our key challenges is to ensure that all South Africans have birth certificates and IDs. Hence, we implemented with this national population campaign. We want to continue working on it together with our stakeholder forums. There's still a challenge of the separation of economic migrants from genuine asylum seekers. What we're looking at is really the steps which we've implemented to improve the management of asylum seekers whilst putting forward policy options. There's still unacceptable levels of fraud and corruption which undermine the security and the service delivery. What we're doing that we really want to secure processes and change organizational culture while strengthening vetting, as I was talking about, upgrading of our chief directorate to a branch, detection and prevention, and working with relevant partners. And so the business that on causes and scope of corruption is being developed. So one of the other major challenges which we still have as a department is the contaminated NPR and the collection of IDs. Chair, we thought that the replacing of the current late
research. That's just a minute, DG, the acronym.
Oh, NPR is a National Population Register.
Okay.
Yes, thanks. So I will quote them. So, Chair, we believe as a department that if we can make sure that the entry into the National Population Register is through the press registration only, that will help us to deal with that issue. And Chair, the revised tariffs which we implemented from 1st of April, which the minister during her budget speech in Parliament did explain this issue. And also the implementation of the third-party verification, we think will assist us in dealing with this issue of the National Population Register. Another challenge which is still facing the department is the outdated information systems that are not sufficiently secure and are not integrated. So when we deal with the issues of the duplication of the ID numbers, it's because of the lack of these systems. But Chair, we are saying that now as a department, which I'll come to it later, we have managed to settle the issue of UMI online. We paved the way for the department to be able to continue with the process of integrating this our community assistance as well as other partners in the government. Chair, there is also still an uneven quality of front office service delivery culture. We are still faced by that problem in our offices, but we have tried to strengthen management supervision and accountability at all levels in the organization in line with the financial investigation. We have moved a lot, Chair, in terms of filling the positions of key management positions and also engage in the process of training office managers. There's still a difficulty in terms of attracting the skills, which in terms of the Minister's Performance Agreement is that we're supposed to about attracting about 50,000 per annum. So our pen meeting regime, we still need to look at it in terms of streamlining and modernization that, and also to come up with a clear understanding of what is required in terms of skills through cooperation with relevant departments. In fact, now the Ministry of Economic Development has already come up with that list. So now as a department together with the Department of Higher Education, we're working on that. And Chair, the issue now of developing this migration policy with clear differentiation between economic migrants and asylum seekers is a priority in the department. Chair, they indicated that now government is working in terms of the 12 national outcomes, but as DHA, we are contributing on the 3. All people in South Africa are and feel safe. And also number 5, a skilled and a capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, and as well an efficient, effective and development-oriented public service and empowered, fair and inclusive citizenship. Based on those, Chair, then Home Affairs had to come up with the outcomes which will be supporting those. Our outcome 1 is secured South African citizenship and identity. And outcome 2 is immigration managed effectively and securely in the national interest, including economic, social, and cultural development. And outcome 3 is a service that is efficient, accessible, and corrupt-free. In that, what is the target now in terms of, because the Minister has signed a performance agreement with the President. In that, so those were the targets which were given to the Minister, the completion of all strategic information and identification projects within already defined budget and timeframes, is effective and efficient refugee management strategies and systems. So when I come back to the targets, I will be coming back to this in terms of what are the targets for the year. And in terms of number 5, is contributing to the level of skills and general economic development in South Africa. Target is to be set to realize a positive skills migration trend of around 50,000 migrants annually. I've already touched on that. We will focus on the critical skills shortage. And in terms of number 12, really the target is the registration of every child's birth within 30 days of delivery, is the issuing of identity documents to every South African 16 years and above, is the turnaround times for all services in terms of queuing times and unit cost per service, and is the maximum distance for a citizen to travel to access Home Affairs services, which is one of the biggest challenges for the department, as now our offices are not in every local municipality or in every location where people they stay. So that's what we're still looking at, which is a challenge for us. Well, in terms of the Department of Home Affairs now, to say how is our strategic plan contributing to the national outcomes? Chair, as we said that as DHA, now we have to come up with our outcomes, secure South African citizenship and identity for us is to ensure that registration and birth is the only entry point for South Africans to the National Population Register, is to secure processes and systems to combat fraud and corruption, as chairman, I was starting to see the results on that, in terms of that our system now are able to identify who is the person who was processing that particular transaction, either it is in the airport or it is in the front office. Hence, now we're able to make these arrests, which we're doing in the department. It's really to increase capacity to contribute to the fight against cybercrime. In terms of the immigration, it's really to implement effective and efficient asylum seeker and refugee management strategies and systems. Is to facilitate the movement of regular travelers across neighboring borders. What we mean by this, Chair, we're looking at borders like Maseru, Bridge, so that now we're able, that people who are traveling to the country every time must have a system where they can just come across without every time going in front of an immigration official. It's also to review the policy and regulatory framework to manage economic migration, that we are involving the development of policy options for managing the migration of skilled and unskilled migrants, focus with a responsive, proactive and secure permitting review, which is essential to managing economic migration and to facilitate the movement of travelers across the neighborhood. In terms of this service, that is efficient, accessible, and corrupt-free, as we indicated, that is to deal with this registration of the children and also to issue these IDs and to ensure that we've got an efficient and accessible services delivered to clients, to integrate the key systems and upgrade IT infrastructure for improved security and data integrity, to ensure ethical conduct and a zero-tolerance approach to corruption, to develop and implement service delivery standards to improve operational efficiency. And this year, Chair, we want to conduct a customer survey, a satisfaction survey, so that as a department, because for the turnaround strategy which has been implemented in the department was based also on the customer survey which was done, which indicated a number of issues. One of those was that if the department can open during Saturdays, it will help people to get the services. And the other one was for the coming up with the call center, because a lot of people are going to Home Affairs, it's about inquiring. Then with that, that's what we did in that year. So now I want to do another one and see, based on the improvements which we have in the department, what other issues we can get from the public in terms of making sure that we're improving our services. So as a department, I indicated that there are other delivery agreements which have been signed by the minister with the other ministers, which those include the social cluster and the international relations, cooperation and trade and security. And then these delivery agreements will enable the department and our partners to collectively achieve government objectives in a structured and coordinated manner. In this regard, Chair, there's a memorandum of understanding between the Department of Home Affairs and Health and Basic Education. In terms of the health, is to make sure that we cooperate on the birth and death registration, including the provision of statistics. In this regard, Chair, we are getting a space from the hospitals where now, as Home Affairs, we put our systems next to the labor ward, so that now people are able to register before they leave the hospitals.
Wow.
So the 46 hospitals which we're talking about is a result of that. So we're pushing with the Department of Health to make sure that all hospitals are connected. With the education, we are really cooperating in making sure that all the learners at age of 16 are able to apply for their IDs in the school. And also making sure that those who write matric are having their IDs. Chair, I just want to come now to what are the targets now for 2011-12. I'll concentrate on that, though we have built it over the 3 years. In terms of ensuring that registration at birth is the only entry point for some South Africans with the national population register, what we are aiming to do is to make sure now that in the 11-12 we connect additional 126 health facilities, and then the remaining would be in the outer year. And we're projecting to increase the 14% of birth registered within 30 days of the birth event against the estimated 1.1 million births per annum, which want to increase now that over the years until we reach 100%. In terms of the late registration of birth, which is still problematic, because it's where a lot of corruption comes through this process of legislation of birth. However, we also understand that, yes, there are people who did not have an opportunity to be registered because of our history. But we are saying that now we want to really push and finalize those within 31 days, so that at the end we can try and clean completely this issue of the legislation of birth. Chair, as I indicated, that we want to target now and say every year we want to target certain high schools and say 49% of the high schools visited, we want to be able that we're able to issue those IDs. But the important target, Chair, is the one of the children who are writing their exams. So the Department of Education, their process by end of April, they're able now to register all the children who will be writing exams at year end. Based on those lists, then as the Department of Home Affairs, we're able now to go and target those children to make sure that they've got their ID, so that by the time they write exams, we don't want children to be frustrated by the issue whether they've got an ID or not. So one of the solutions which we will have in the issue of the identity theft is the issue, Chair, that we want to implement a life capture. Because once we have a life capture, this pasting of photos in our IDs is giving us an opening for people on this. So what we want to do now is to make sure that by year end, we have implemented this life capture to 167 offices. But what now, Chair, this is when I help us, is that in the past, we had the problem of the contract which we have, which was not resolved. That now that contract issue has been resolved, we're able now to move with this. Which, Chair, this will also pave the way for us to implement a smart card, because a smart card needs that infrastructure first. Because you can't have a smart card where people still paste their photos. But once we've got a live capture, because from a live capture, there is no human intervention. You sit in front of that camera, we take your ID, it goes and then gets printed without anybody getting human intervention. Chair, I indicated the problem of the duplicate based on the systems which are not integrated. So we still have this problem, but we really want to make sure as a department that once a case is reported to us, we'll want to resolve that case, all of them, because it's where, Chair, it causes really hardship to the people in various fronts, which end up other people even killing themselves because their lives are stand still once they've got a duplicate ID. And Chair, we will also be, as I indicated, that we want to submit a proposal to Cabinet for the approval of the smart card pilot and start piloting that smart card. But Chair, what is important for us, which we have learned with the issue of the when we're implementing the tariffs, that maybe as a department we did not communicate in time about that issue. There's a difficult issue we're going to face on this implementation of the smart cards or the live capture, because currently we've got people who are running their businesses with taking photos for people when they need their cards. So now once you implement the life capture, that market is going to be affected. So we want to start communicating that earlier to say, yes, we're going to have a benefit in terms of securing the issue of the IDs, but there's a consequence with it, that now those people will come to Home Affairs and say, we have lost the jobs now because that's how we were able to help us to put something on the table. But now this time we'll want to communicate that issue as early as possible, as we're starting to do it even now. I indicated the issue of integrating these systems with other departments. Chair, with the SASA TEP and Department of Human Settlements, we really want to implement that because there's still a problem that people go to the Department of Human Settlements and still get a subsidy in the house, but that person is working. Once we integrate the systems, then they will be able to deal with that. And SASA, the issue of registration of children, which is a big problem. There's an issue which we're still dealing with it as a department. Within some cases, those are the genuine issues, but other people are taking chances on that. That we've got a problem, where the grandmothers or sisters end up, because their sister maybe was working and the sister passed away, maybe through these issues of the illness we know, and then now the sister end up taking that child and registering that child under her name. And then in the process, the sister gets her own child. Now when it goes to Home Affairs, there is a child now which has been registered within a 9 month period. And then now for us, we start by saying, no, it is not possible that you can have a child within 9 months, and causes the problem. So it's something which we still want to work on, in how we can assist in that regard. Because if we just take it on the basis that no, a person must only register a child in that, so it causes those kind of problems. So, Chair, with the, though now we have put police and correctional service on the 12-13, there's been a request and a problem from correctional services where they were indicating to us that they've got a problem when they take people to court, that they arrest today a murderer and a person who is for drunk and driving. And then once they get inside the cells, the one who is a murderer change the name and say, I'm the one who was a drunken driving, because the possibility of the bail is there to the one who is was caught for drunken driving, whereas the murderer is not. So when now they go in front of the magistrate deals with this person as a drunken driver culprit, and then they release that person on bail. And then after that, then the one now who was for a murderer go back now and says, no, I'm not so-and-so. I was on drunken driving, not on the murderer, but that guy is already gone. But if now we implement that, they will be able to make sure that before a person goes to court, get verified before that person gets there. So that's why now SARS and correctional services are on the list. So with the improvement in terms of the movement control system, yes, we did implement on the 34 ports of entry. Now on 11-12, we want to take the 67% of what is left. Though, Chair, I'm still going to come to one of another project which we have as a department. Currently, we've got 72 ports of entry across the country. So now we're looking at the process of even rationalizing those ports of entry, because some of them, there's only one person who is in that port of entry, which encourages the issues of fraud and people are coming through our country, because that is not a port of entry if it is one individual. And we need to make sure that we really integrate our niece and harness in terms of what we are dealing with asylum seekers, that people are able to move from this refugee center to the other. If now on this one has been declined, go to the other one or get an ID fraudulently, and then at that time that person has applied for an asylum seeker. But if these things can be integrated, we'll be able now to pick that problem.
That's just a minute, DG. Miss Hannes and MCF.
Oh, MCS is the movement control system. NIS is the National Immigration Information System. HANIS is the Home Affairs National Identity System. So that's why I was saying you need to integrate those systems, because if they are not, because on movement control system is when the people is coming into the country.
Just a minute. Can you repeat those things?
Yes. MCS is a movement control system. It's the one which we are using in the port of entry when people are coming in the country. They register you that you have come on the country on this day, whether it was on a visitor's permit or whatever permit you are coming through it. And then NIS is the one which we are using now within the immigration. Once now you go and report and say National Immigration Information System. So then once now you come to our country and then you are a refugee, you go there, apply for that section 22 and all that, up to getting your ID as a refugee. And then HANIS is Home Affairs National Identification System. That system is where now we put all the IDs of the South Africans. So what is the danger now if those systems are not integrated? And remember, one of our amendments in the Immigration Act was to say that if we have come to our country with this particular permit, you can't change your status whilst you are inside the country. You must go back to your country, because people come into our country on a visitor's permit. Once they are here, they do whatever, and then now they change their status. But if now this system are integrated, we're able to say, no, you came here as a visitor. How come now that you become a refugee, asylum seeker? Now, because other people come with that as a visitor, once they're inside the country, they go there and says, I'm seeking for an asylum seeker. So that integration is going to help the department to deal with those kind of issues. Then in terms of really, as we said, that want to look at to this implement effective and efficient asylum refugee, we have already said now this year, we think that on the first quarter we'll get our amendments on the Refugee Act. We'll be now finalizing the regulations around that. And we're dealing with the policy document development with regard to the key options for processing of asylum seekers and refugees. We want now that the adjudication committees be established in all the 7 refugee reception offices. Though now we have closed one now in Crown Mines, so now we make on those ones. Then the Refugees Appeals Authority will be established and decentralized. And we also, Chair, there is a big problem which we are picking as a department. In terms of one of these conventions which we signed in terms of the UN, to say a refugee must at least request an asylum seeker from the first safe country, from your own country. What we're facing as a Department of Home Affairs is that a lot of these foreigners, they come from Bangladesh as an example, and come through our neighboring countries, like Abo Mozambique, or Swaziland, or Lesotho. Now you ask yourself that how is it possible that a person can move from that far distance and come and start in South Africa to as a safe country? So what the minister will be doing now will be visiting
the Mozambique is already on schedule to go to Mozambique, to go to Botswana, to go to Lesotho and be able to come up with some sort of an agreement, which that will, for us, is that once now we get these people inside the country, we want to deport them into the next country they were coming from, rather than us now deporting them back to about China and Bangladesh and all that at our own cost. In terms of the policy option for managing migration, we want to, this year we'll have finalized the development of the paper on that. And Chair, I'm coming back to that issue of the plan for the rationalization of ports of entry, which is going to be one of the difficult issues we're going to be facing, because a lot of our neighboring countries, to them, they are looking for us to open more border posts rather than rationalizing. But now for our view is to say we need to rationalize these ports of entry, and we only have those which we think they are really a port of entry. And we'll also continue with that acquiring of skills abroad. In terms of the service that is efficient, accessible, and corruption, Chair, that has helped us in implementing these coaching clinics. We want to continue with that, we hold 25% of the 2,000 supervisors in the department, and want to implement the 3 leadership development interventions. And Chair, we want to fill vacant posts in the 2011-12. We have identified and budgeted for 1,076 vacant posts, which, as I said, that in the previous year, we targeted the leadership positions. This one, Chair, you will see is more on the operations, but I will not be able to. We want 150 officials enrolled in the management development programs to enhance operational and service excellence. And Chair, want to improve basic and advanced program for new and existing immigration officers. We really want to train our immigration officers, Chair, in the 2011-12. And we want to continue with making sure that we always improve on our best marriage and death certificates, so that now we make sure that with the near chair, we put those things which people cannot see, so that we can be able to check whether this is accurate or not. And we want to create a central database in all of our counter-corruption cases, and finalize the baseline start in terms of the corruption in part of the JCPS cluster. And on vetting, as I indicated, we will establish a security advisory committee which will ensure grading of all posts within DHA. Chair, I think in the Department of Home Affairs, because maybe prior, Home Affairs was classified as one of the administrative departments, hence it was under the GLA cluster, whereas Home Affairs is a security department. We've got a challenge that the employees, a lot of them in Home Affairs, were not vetted, and that's where the problem starts. Because if we don't do the vetting, we do not know who is who in the zoo. So we really wanted to engage on this. That was the reason for us to do that. And Chair, we want to really make sure that we finalized our misconduct cases within 60 days. 70% of those, though there's still a challenge on all that. Chair, the Minister was clear, Chair, that the Department of Home Affairs cannot continue on this issue of qualified public support, this came up and all that. So we have put a target for the Department that 11-12, we would really want to see an unqualified audit report. In fact, Chair, even for 10-11, this audit which is being done now, that is the target which we have, that 10-11 and 11-12 is an unqualified audit report, so that now 12-13 going forward, it will be the clean audit report. Chair, we are looking at really decentralize the procurement to our offices and ensure that the payment delegations are with the provinces. When I deal with the issue of budget, the implication of this was that the Department of Home Affairs has been incurring debts because everything was centralized at headquarters. And with regard to the trading account, again, when I deal with the budget, you will recall that on the tariff increase, the big one was around the passports, where now a passport is costing 400 rand for a passport. And the reason being that Treasury is no longer now financing us on a passport. We are using the trading account. What trading account means is that we collect that money. Is not going to the revenue fund, it goes to this trading account, and with that money we are able to pay GPW on the cost of producing that particular passport. But when I deal with the budget, I will also come back. As I said, now we want to implement the outcome of the cyber policy strategy and make sure that we are raising awareness in the department and the educate people. We are mandated as in the minister's performance agreement that we need to cost the products which are provided by the Department of the State wants to know, Chair, how much is it costing to produce that particular ID so that we can be able to say, yes, we get subsidized by the state to get this ID. Because if people, they do not know that, we say the first ID is free. It doesn't mean the production of that ID is free. It is costing. So that's what, Chair, we want to deal and able to cost these products. Chair, in terms of the increase in the access, yes, we want to finalize the 6 offices which we have. And Chair, when I deal with the budget, there will be a question to say why 6 and then now 20, 11, 12. We're not given much money on the building project, but there's a lot of money we're given on 12, 13. And we want to make sure that we now test our access model in terms of what distance a client must travel to access the services of Home Affairs. Which, Chair, we don't think that we can only do that based on building offices. That's why now when we talk with the new system, we are looking at even technology to assist us in terms of that, to say if Home Affairs can be on an electronic process, then I can even be able to access Home Affairs whilst I'm at home. It's not necessary to go to the office of Home Affairs through those processes of internet. The electronic management system is a tool which we think is going to assist us as a department. As I said, last day it was 12. You say want to implement 5, but with the new system, we might be able to even implement more. Chair, these are the targets which we are putting, and Chair, these targets in terms of how for us to produce these documents, these are based, Chair, on the manual systems which we still have, but once as a department we are able to implement the new system which we are talking about, it's going to reduce these days drastically, because now you'll be having an online electronic system. But currently, we are saying IDs will be first issued within 54 days, reissue 47 days. Passport will still maintain the 24 for manual and 13 days for a live capture. And then in terms of the immigration services, status determination will be 6 months, and then permanent residence will be 8 months, and then our temporary residence permit, which is a work, business, and corporate, is within 8 weeks. Chair, I did talk about the positions. Chair, as I indicated, that this year we want to fill these 1,076 positions. In civics, we're looking at about 787, but what we are earmarked those positions for at that level, you'll recall that we've got the mobile offices, or we call it mobile trucks. What we realized was that those trucks were only having drivers.
Yeah.
And then for the staff, they need to borrow now from one particular office if they're going to go out and work in these projects, which means now we're robbing Paul to pay Peter, because on the day that those mobile trucks are outside, there's no service in the offices. So on this, we have targeted to appoint staff for those mobile trucks. And the other one, Chair, we said if we are saying really the issue of registering children within 30 days, in the hospitals which we have, there is no staff there. Still, people are sent to collect forms and go on a particular hour. So now we have targeted hospitals where we'll appoint permanent people in the hospital. So that's what we are looking at with these positions, are really at that. And also front offices, we have looked at making sure that the front offices, but there's nothing to frustrate people than standing on a queue, and then you can see that there are three counters which are empty, but I'm standing in a queue. So we really want to make sure that we build that capacity so that at every time, all our booths are having somebody on that. And immigration is our port of entry, which if you take Maseru Bridge as an example, on this post we want to add about 40 staff members in Maseru Bridge, because that's where now it causes all those queues. Because now in terms of the shifts, you might find that in one shift you've got two people in a shift, which does not help us. Hence, you will see now that the rest, which is information technology, finance, three, counter-corruption, those 12 positions, we're really looking at the vetting unit which we have created. But unfortunately, because our priority was on civics and immigration, so they didn't get a lot of positions. So the issue of equity is still a problem. more special with the gender issue, but we are really working on this. So currently on the 10,000 staff which we have, including all the staff in the department, Africans are 9,562 colored, 78 Indians, and 821 whites. But the major problem we have is on the split between males and females. Yes, males are 40% and females are 60%. But when you come to the management level, 53% is males, whereas there are few, and then 47 is female. But we are really working on this matter. When now we are appointing, which we hope now this year, which is 11-12, there's going to be a change on this in terms of the ratio. With the provincial heads, as we said, that we had the zones, so the minister has already cleared to us that we'll appoint 4 males and 5 females as provincial heads, mm-hmm. so that we make that balance. Mm-hmm. With the director's finance, we have managed to appoint out of the 9, 5 females and 4 males. So we're really engaged in this process in the department to make sure that we got this balance. Even the CFO has already been appointed in the department, and the CFO is a female in the department. So we really want to work on this matter so that we can try and get the policy of the government, which is the 50-50. That's what we want to work. So we want next year to change that 2% other way around. In terms, as I've already said, that we have implemented now a provincial structure instead of a zonal, and that provincial structure, Chair, what we have done now, we have already appointed what we call district managers operations. So at the provincial level, we've got provincial heads. At the district municipality level, we're going to have what we call a district manager operation. And then then at a local level with the head of the office. So that now, when we deal with the issues at provincial level, we've got somebody who deals with all the issues, stakeholders around the province. At the district municipal level, when we talk about this stakeholder forum, then that manager must be working with the district municipality mayors. We talk to our district manager operations. So those appointments have already been implemented, so we're moving with that. And then at a lower level, now we'll be finalizing that process. And then, Chair, to strengthen the, as I talked about, the issue of the leadership which we have implemented. And then also, Chair, we are really want to ensure that that entire governmental relationship in the provinces is enhanced. Hence, now at a provincial level, Chair, we don't have a split between civics and immigration. Because when you go there, you want if there are issues in the province, the provincial manager must be able to respond on all issues, not to say this is immigration, it's not civics. So that's what we've implemented. And we're implementing, Chair, the issue of the performance agreements in the department to ensure that the performance culture is enhanced in the department. Also, we want to make sure that in terms of the risk management, we do that across the department, and we investigate corrupt activities and touch on the issues of vetting and also grading the positions. And we really work closely with the law enforcement agencies, police, hawks, intelligence. That's why we're starting to see some level of success in the department is because of that relationship. I think police in particular, because even in our ports of entry, we're really assisted by police. Chair, let me come to the issue of WIO. Chair, this has been a problem in the department. I think WIO as a project, were really, when you look at it and you read what was the aims of WIO, it was really a good project. Unfortunately, there were some challenges on it. As Chair, you know that we have been on the media on the matter, and the issue really being that the contract, when we went out on tender, it was at 2.1 billion, but when we're signing, the contract was at 4.5 billion, which meant there was an increase of 2.4 billion. And Chair, during the preparations for the FIFA World Cup, we realized as a department that the progress which was there was not going to be enabling the department to deliver on the FIFA guarantees. Then at that stage, we had no other choice except to inform Kijima that we think that the contract which we have is not valid. However, that was our view, and then they had another view on the matter. Considering the lengthy time and litigation in these matters, so as a department, we thought that we had to go on the table and see whether we can be able to find any amicable solution, which, Chair, we did at the end. The first thing which we managed in that process was that the contract was brought back to where it was, except that the issues of escalation and all that, which goes to about 2.4 billion, which we end up saving the government at 2 billion on that. But what, Chair, is important on this, more than the settlement of between 2 billion, is the issue that the department is now going to be able to move forward and implement these challenges which we are talking about, because in the past we were sitting not able to do anything, but with this now we'll be able to implement the live capture, we'll be able to deal with the issues of integration. and so that has opened really a window in the department to be able to move forward. So, Chair, our view is that the opportunity cost of settling is really for us to say we had an advantage of the department now, not stuck on this matter. However, Chair, it is important to report that the issue of the forensic investigation was not part of the settlement, to say we are doing away with the issue of forensic. That is still continuing, and we are anticipating to get that report here in the month of June to finalize this process of why. So I've talked about the issue of the risk management which I've implemented in the department. It is clear in our strategic plan. What are we, in terms of going forward, so in summary, we just say, we want to say this department is really intended to continue its transformation over the next 3 years with the main focus of making sure that birth registration within 30 days of birth, issue of IDs to all eligible citizens and residents, effective, secure and efficient management of migration, securing a clean audit report and fighting fraud and corruption. Another priority is to ensure that really the department is aligned to local, regional and provincial structures of government, and we'll make sure that we appoint managers as I've indicated in all of these areas. And also want to continue with the improving of services delivered to citizens and other clients. And really one of our priorities to work with the partners and find creative ways of improving access to most marginalized and remote communities. Here, so we're talking about our stakeholder forums. We really want to go back there and make sure that we strengthen that process, because we think that as a Department of Home Affairs, without that, we'll be fighting a losing battle. Chair, one of the things which is important, you said that our level of operations in the offices is not the same. Chair, we tried this process. We think that is yielding some results, where all our numbers are in the offices of Home Affairs, so that when the client is there and is not served, at least there's another opportunity of calling us. And we're getting these calls, and up to the best of our ability, we really try to solve the problems of the people who are calling us. And it also works for us as a deterrent, because now our own officials, once a member of the public take the phone and call what is there, they know that then we'll be aware as a department of what is happening. I've already touched the issue of the stakeholder forums, and we are trying to implement an improved service delivery model in the department. We identified last year certain offices, like in Pietermaritzburg, Amthatha, which we identified them as worst performing offices, and based on that, there's a team which was visiting those offices to make sure that there's an improvement in terms of what they are doing. Thanks, Chair. That's where I finished with regard to the strategic plan. So I'll be guided by the committee whether I also go to the budget first.
Please. The DGs are waiting you, or you want to interact first? Let him present the budget first. Okay, so the caucus there.
I'm just worried about the time.
There?
The time, Madam Chair, we're just looking.
Okay, just increase your pace.
On the budget, I want to be quick.
Chair, as I indicated, the CFO is appointed in the department, but there is an issue of the. Then I'll say to the budget. I'm going to try and move quickly. Chair, this is the program structure of the department now for 2011. 12 is a program one. Program two, which now program two deals with the issues of civics and as well as our transfers to the entities reporting to Home Affairs. And program three is about immigration. Chair, in this light, what we're trying just to say that in the 2009-10, the department spent about 98.7%, and which now there was a savings. But I want to come back to why are we putting this light. Chair, the reason for us to put this light is that yes, there was a saving of 68 million rand, which was used for the movement control system. But the major issue, Chair, there was that as a department of government, we're operating on a cash basis of accounting. So what it means, what has not been paid is not part of your expenditure. So the department reported an accrual of about 533 million. What it means is the amounts which were not budgeted for in the department but spent in that year. Also, the department has got operating abroad, and through that, DECO is the department now which is helping us to pay for those expenses abroad, but going to collect back from the department, which over the years, that has not been happening. When we are trying to trace why the Department of Home Affairs was sitting with qualifications, in that the department was owing DECO about 709 million rand, whereas DECO was owing us on revenue about 895 million. So this matter has been sitting in the department. So this was one of the reasons why the department was getting this qualified audit opinion. So Chair, to resolve that, we approached National Treasury, where Treasury agreed that for the department to get out of this problem, let us settle all the debts before end of March, which is 10-11. So when I show you now how we are going to be showing an over expenditure in the 2010-11 because of that problem, but it was based on the agreement with National Treasury and to clear this thing going forward. So Chair, that is the result of that process which we have. So the department for 2010-11 will be reporting an over expenditure of about 732 million, but that will now put the department in a clean position going forward, which is not affecting our 11-12 because we have cleared now the debt, which this we think is really paving the way for the department to really have this clean report which we are talking about. Otherwise, without settling these historical problems, we are not going to be able to do that. So, Chair, that now we have cleared it. We have paid the settlement in terms of what were the leases, as I was reported on the issue of Jima, and then now we'll be reporting to the portfolio committee and scope on those issues. What we've implemented now to make sure that these things they do not happen again? Firstly, we've signed a memorandum of understanding with DECO, which makes sure now that DECO has opened bank accounts abroad to make sure that the money they are collecting on our behalf is not mixed with their money. And also, as a department, in terms of the expenditure, we make advance payments to DECO. We do not wait for the time so that there are no debts which are really created in this regard. Chair, now for what we are now wanting to do is just to compare the budget of the previous year and what is the current budget. Chair, the budget of 2010-11 was showing an increase as against the budget of 2009-10. The only reason was the World Cup. So now when you see the drop in the 11-12, it's not that the operations of the department are reduced or are negatively affected, but it's because we do not have a World Cup in the 11-12. That's what we wanted to demonstrate there. Then Chair, on this slide we're trying to show how did we devise the budget of the department. Out of that budget of 5.464 billion, 2.26 billion has gone to our compensation of employees, including those positions we are saying has been created. The 2.23 billion is for the goods and services, and then transfers and subsidies 6 million, and then payment of capital assets 26 million, and what we are transferring now to our film and publication board and the IEC is 993 million rand. In terms of that charge, we just wanted to pick up the big amount. So for this year, with the WMI online, I've got 558 million rand, and then IT projects 104 million rand, and then the APP project, which is our advanced processing system, that system which you said before you bought a plane abroad, we are able now to know what, who are you, what passport you have, and all that. If there are issues with you, we are able now to not allow you even to board that plane, or by the time you arrive here, we are able to understand how we're going to deal with that issue. Office accommodation, we make sure that we are paying our municipal leases and charges in terms of electricity. There's no Office of Home Affairs which must not have a power because of the payment. And then other operational costs. Chair, this was just to show that in the 2011-12, we did not get much on what we requested, but on the 12-13, there's a good attempt which has been done by National Treasury to provide resources to Home Affairs. You will still check that on the passport, as I indicated, there was no sense given to us, but there was a way of resolving that issue by giving us the mandate to open a trading account. Mobile offices, our mobile trucks now are really, really wearing now. They're starting to go on this other side. But what now we've got is that in the next year, we've got about 21 million to refresh those mobile offices. And Asylum Refugee Center, we get money next year. And the issue of care schemes, we get money next year. And which I was indicating that there's really an attempt with our infrastructure, as I said, that we didn't get money for 11-12, but 12-13, we'll be getting 264 million and 296. What we propose to transfer with that money, we were looking at different types of offices for Home Affairs, and also wanting to, we're thinking about issues. If you take high schools are in the rural areas. So if now we can get the money, we go in that same yard of the high school, we open an office of Home Affairs, which is close, because those high schools are serving a variety of communities, and they already have the infrastructure. So that money is not to build in the urban areas. With this, we're wanting to look at the rural areas and see what can we do without it. So that's why now we're given money in the following year. And then the municipal accommodation, is there's a money for this year, and the issue of improved services. And film and publication, we're given money, and as well as the IEC, just a bit of money to finalize their elections, the ones of local government. And again, on the 2013-14, they've given money for the preparation of the national elections. And so, Chair, what we're saying here now is that, yes, the budget of 2011-12 will show that decrease, as I've explained, it was the issue of the World Cup. But now coming 12-13, that decrease is reducing. But on the 2013-14, the budget will be increased by 11.7%. Chair, this is really about the programs. And it's the same thing in terms of the compensation and where the money has been reduced. And this is about revenue, how we've been collecting the revenue, and what we are seeing, what is the estimated revenue collection now for 11-12, 12-13, and 13-14. Chair, what I wanted to say around the financial issues is to say, really, for this approval of the establishment of the trading account by 1st of July, we'll be ready now to deposit that money in that account. And we really strengthened the financial management in the department. All the nine directors' finances started on 1st of June, so all the provinces will already have that. State accountants will be finalized before this month, before it ends, and we'll be decentralizing the payment, because there was nothing which was frustrating the offices that a payment in Home Affairs is only done at headquarters. So whether you are in a district office in the corner of the Eastern Cape or KZN, it must be sent to headquarters. But now with this, it will help us, which will make sure that we really get out of this qualified audit. Then, Chair, we have been working hard on the issue of the asset register. We're really waiting for AGF started to audit our books for this year. That is a department. We really think on our side that we have tried to resolve the issue of the asset register, but we depend on the report from the Auditor General. Those are the two tests. What I was trying to show with the budget is to say all the priorities which we have put in place for the department, they have been budgeted for. We don't have a priority which is not funded. Thanks.
Thank you, teacher. May I open up for charities, Honorable Borotko? Honorable Rancho, Honorable Cecilia, Honorable Faba. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, really, as the presentation went on, that's where I realized that there is a necessity for the minister or the deputy minister to be in this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we are here, we are politicians, and we would be happy if we at that level with the deputy minister or the minister. And I just want to say that we know that there are other issues that they have been called to do, but also these programs don't come on the last minute. So if they are given another job, they should also prioritize us, because we really need them in our meetings. So as a whip of this committee, I really felt I have to talk on this one. I didn't want to talk at the beginning, but as the presentation went on, I realized how important it is for them to be here. Without wasting any time, let me just start with the budget. You said something about high schools having Home Affairs offices. I just want to start with that one because it's still fresh in my mind. And say this committee here is also a committee on education. And we know the different problems that confront our schools. And I don't see the feasibility of that. I'm not sure if you did make your investigation on this issue, but maybe the secret offices, but the schools themselves, we have a problem now of safety in our schools, where we are trying to keep everybody at bay until, you know, even the parents don't come to school during lessons. They only come after the lessons. That's what we are trying to do. That would be a good thing, but not the schools themselves. I'm not sure. I'm not ruling on that one, but I'm just saying check, because we have a problem of safety in our schools, and that wouldn't be very advisable, because Home Affairs would mean people would be coming there for services, which is going to disrupt the school, and even the safety is not guaranteed. I'm just saying it in passing, but you will look into it. The question of smart cards, I think previously we were told that the tender processes, you were going to check the tender processes for the smart card, and today something else is coming up about the people losing their jobs, those who are using cameras. Yes, it is a job, but you know, I remember in the late 70s, when I was still in high school, we used to have this debate that said, scientific invention is boom to mankind. That we used to have that debate, and by then we didn't even understand it very well. But it's true, when technology comes, a lot of jobs are lost in the process. But when you look at why we need the smart cards, you know, for instance, we have got so many people who have got their own home affairs in their backyard, fraudulent identifications. Those are some, you know, there are so many things that has got to go with the identity document. And in this case, we believe that the smart card would be a solution to most of those problems that we have concerning the identity document. And it would, you know, encompass a lot of things in one. Well, we are happy with what is happening these days. We see the way our passports are, you know, it's the photo is inside. You cannot do anything to it. We are happy with that. But this thing of smart photos, I think that's something that we agreed to long ago, and I believe that it's something that we should put forward, push that it really happens. Although we know it's not good for everybody. Everywhere where there's technology, there will always be a problem of people not getting their... people losing some of the how they earn their own monies and all that. You are also talking on slide number 11, and on page 11, I'm not too sure which slide is that, about the training. You know, I was looking on TV not very long, I think it was last week or so. If I talk about this training, I also want maybe the DG to really explain to us what is happening with this queues of refugees crying. We don't understand this, but what is happening there? There are so many people sleeping there. What is happening? Are they not following the processes? Why are the people not assisted? You know, it seems there are always people there. And in Cape Town, for instance, that's the worst I've seen. Recently, they were showing Cape Town Home Affairs where people slept there. Some saying we are even discouraged. We have reached our documents are about to expire and we are not assisted. Is it maybe people don't come on time, or what is the problem there? Because you are talking about training, and I don't think this will be the first time that you'll be training these people in offices, front offices, as you put it. But something is not very right here, you know. But I must congratulate your department, because in the rural areas, we no longer have these long queues anymore. It's happening mostly in the urban areas where we have got an influx of, I don't know whether to call them immigrants or refugees or yeah. But at home, in the rural areas where I come from, there is a real great improvement in as far as the services are concerned. I think people know what it means when you say Batshupile these days. The other thing that I just want to ask. We are coming from elections, and some of us were very involved with elections, where we wanted people to go and vote. And the people who had lost maybe their IDs or have their IDs missing have to pay a lot of money, DG. 140 rand, if I'm not wrong, including the photos excluded and all that. Why is it so expensive to obtain a temporary ID? I'm not sure, but this is really bad, but it's too high. I know that the first ID is not for free. You have explained that, we understand. But the temporary ID, when somebody has applied for an ID, it has not arrived, and he needs to have a temporary ID, has to pop out such a lot of money. Why are you penalizing them so much? Anyway, on this presentation and the priorities that you have put in here, As a committee, I just want to say that the priorities, what you have prioritized, is real, and would be happy if you can work accordingly and get that money that you have budgeted for. Thank you.
Honorable Ranta.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got 66 questions. Chairperson, let me first bring attention your department on an issue that happened in Johnsonville in the Eastern Cape. Johnsonville is on the western side of the Eastern Cape, a small town. We had among our comrades who went out of the country during the apartheid time for Ireland to fight for our freedom. One of them is Thandile Ketchum. Thandile Ketchum passed away some few years ago. He has his own children that he came with from Tanzania. His mother was going up and down trying to sort out the ID, whatever, birth certificate for Thandile's children. In Home Affairs in Pretoria, when she phoned them, they said she must go to Tanzania. And the Home Affairs did not provide her with any book to go to Tanzania. She does not even know where Tanzania is. She thought Tanzania is in Joburg or next to Joburg. But Home Affairs did not assist that old lady. I've just phoned her and said she must send me the death certificate, Thandile, her own ID, and the paper that said Thandile was in Tanzania during the apartheid system. I don't know how are you going to assist me with that, but I need your assistance and your attention on that issue, Katandile. Well, let me come to the presentation. Firstly, let me commend our provincial manager, Usondo Lusu, in the Eastern Cape, who is residing in East London. She helped me a lot during the time of the elections with EID and the death certificate of members, of people that died in Tuwa and Kofimvaba and Gendane, who could not get their death certificate. They were sent to Labour Department, I don't know for what. Is it possible, maybe, the program that you had in Lebode, is it Lebode or Elliot last year, is it possible to have it in your budget? If you check your budget, is it possible to have it in the border area, next to your border area, so that I've got a problem, man, with people coming from Lesotho in my area. My constituency is next to the border areas of Lesotho. And we've got a problem also in the Sterkspruit office. I also need your attention in the office of Sterkspruit. Everything is done in the open air. People are bayanethelwa zimvula and whatever, and the offices, the staff there does not assist. People are coming from far, from Pelandaba, and just be taken kutwebuya mama une document ongakhanguze nayo. They don't say bring this and this and this and this. They would say bring this abuya, and when she comes back she must again go back home, and they are using a lot of money. Can we be assisted in that area? It's also next to e-borders as well, so to that area. I'm representing the Eastern Cape. You know, most we are not just a national office. We are representing provinces here. The issue of trucks. I'm glad that you said your trucks are jumping to the other side now, because the trucks are giving me a problem in that area also. I've got areas like Omaroso, big. They are big. It's big. It's a big farm with more than 2,000 people living there. But when the truck arrives there, there's always a problem that it does not catch the signal, ne? Because Iroso is deep under whatever, deep under the mountains, and also they would say their system is not working. Why are they going to Iroso if their system are not working? Because their computers are not working. And when they live with the documents of the people there, they lost them on the way to Sterkspruit or in their offices. We, you know, when if I can talk about the Department of Home Affairs in my area, it's it's just a pain on my head. I also want to know if you've got maybe a vision of training your employees and intent, if you have intent in the office, on skills needed in your department. I think that will also adhere to the call of the president of job creation, maybe, as you have already said so in your budget presentation. You also talked about EEE offices that will be in the hospitals. You'll get a space maybe in, you'll talk to the Department of Health and have a space in the hospital. Also, it helps, it's good, it's a good idea. But we still have children that are born in the houses. Our abazalisikas, they are still there in our areas. And those children, when they get to the matric, that's where they get serious challenges. Because mabefika ku matric, they don't have IDs, they don't have birth certificate. There's that late registration again. Is there any help that can, or anything that can be done for those rural areas? And also, in the case of the schools, I was also going to talk on the issue of schools. Those people that are, I mean, the offices that will be open in the school. But your Honorable Broto has already talked about the issue of safety and the issue of chaos in our schools. That one, I don't see it working, but maybe you've got a program or a strategy of doing it. And is it not possible also on the issue of those long queues and those people sleeping in those offices where they are where they use the refugees and the asylum seekers, where they must rectify their documents? You can't have a temporary office on a certain site maybe, and have your staff members that will work there just for the period of just for this period of them rectifying their status in South Africa. After that, the officials can go back to their own offices. Chairperson, I've already asked the last question of having the program in the border areas of our country, because that's where the really the problems are.
Honorable Tivile.
Chairperson, I'm so very much and you know the reason, Chairperson, is that I don't have the documents previously. Last week, say Wednesday, so I can go through it and be properly prepared for this morning. So I'm very much disadvantaged this morning to go into this document and ask the right questions, which I have to. So I do make a few questions here this morning, but I don't think that is sufficient. And the other one is the absence of the minister and the deputy minister is this morning unacceptable to me as the NCOP, because we are also very much important in Parliament, so we have to be adhered to that the minister or the deputy minister must attend our meetings. My first question is in connection with the vacant post of the 417. I just want to find out what is the current status and the progress on that vacant post, and also on the 1076 post, the same question on that. And then, Honorable Chairperson, the ID document in the department set a target for 10 days in 2008 and 9, and 19 days in 2009 and 10. But the department fell significantly short of its target of 10 days.
Can I just get an answer to what was the difficulties for the new for the difficulties on this to stick to the targets, and what is the situation in addressing the problems so that the department can be able to address the target they set for themselves. On the offices of the department, it seems to me that the department don't have enough information about how many offices they are in. The HOD or did tell us this morning that there's a process, that they are busy with a process to address the situation. Now my problem is, how in this term, how can the department do the proper monitoring and evaluation on the different offices if they don't have the information on that? If I'm wrong, the department must just tell me this morning. And then I'm also worried about the UMI project. I can't pick up anywhere that there's a definite costing of that program. Can the department just tell us what is the costing of that program, and how will it influence the budget, especially in the 2010-11? And the other one, Honourable Chairperson, goes around the human resource development in the department under administration program. Now, this is the main program of the department, and the department wants to increase the capacity in the department. But in connection with the budget planning for this, the line item has decreased from 105.7 million in 2009-10 to 105 million in 2010-11. How will the department address that situation so that the human resource will be sufficient for the department to address all the problems and the targets they set for themselves? If I'm wrong, I will understand that not correctly, just tell me that there's a different answer to that. And then, Honorable Chairperson, on the core function by the granting of rights and citizens to eligible members of the population. Now, my information here is by the end of the third quarter of the 2009-10 financial year, the department had underspent in this program, which had received a budget for 1.3 million. However, the program had only spent 885, or 65.1% of this budget. Now, there's an underspending, and what is the current situation in the department to address the situation on the underspending? Also, on the underspending of the program due to the invoices that were not submitted and processed timely, what is the program and the plan in the department so that this could not happen again in the next financial year? Chairperson, I think that is... Yeah, also the smart card. I'm actually worried when the department implemented the smart card ID document. What will the cost be for our citizens already in the possession of an ID document? So we will have those who already have an ID document maybe or must apply for the smart card. What is the situation, the influence it will have on our citizens outside? I thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Father.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to start off with a smart card, as this was exactly the same question which I posed a year ago. I think, I'm not sure if it was the DG that was sitting here, to be quite honest, but to me, this should have been implemented by 2008 already. And it's been, nothing happened in the last year. We spoke about it last year. And we're already another year that passed. And I don't know if it was the hype of the World Cup or something, but for some other reason, this just seemed to go on and want to be implemented the year thereafter. Then on the IEC on elections, I spoke about it last year as well, and that is on an electronic voting system. Nothing happened to that. I don't even see any plans on, we're going forward in technology, and technology is available in our country. So I don't know why we're not working on something like that, as I don't see any plans, and I don't know if it's perhaps a lack of political will. Then if we look at these people coming into our countries, living in this, in our areas, and I'm specifically talking about the people trading, and we know about the xenophobia and stuff. Now I'm talking about the Pakistanis, the Somalis, these people running businesses in townships. What are the department actually doing? Because these people are increasing by hundreds day by day, and I don't see that Department of Home Affairs are actually doing something about this. And it's a very big concern to me, as this can eventually, because of a lack of jobs in our townships, start xenophobic relations again. So I'm very worried about that. What was the other one that I was thinking of? I just want to think. Okay, and then this advanced, this plain passport system thing. If we're going to have to work with this, that people have to stay at the airports with all the flights being delayed and things as it's going at this moment already, as soon as this has to be implemented and fully functional, will planes be on time? Will people be on time? Do we really have the capacity to look at every person to see if he can now board a plane? Are we going to hold up planes? What's the situation going to be? Because I can't really see the way things are going now already. People are missing their planes and stuff. How's it going to work when this whole thing is implemented at the end of the day? Thank you.
Okay, before you come in, let me also add and start with the foreign nationals with Paza or businesses in townships and or informal settlements. But my take is more so, it's more on the informal settlement where I've been exposed. This one may not be for you, I don't know for which department. For human settlements. The question of them buying out families or child-headed homes. 2,000, 5,000 rand, they take the house and then they open up a shop. In one constituency at Freedom Park in February, there was a cry from the community, the MEC for local government and housing and security, community safety and safety, that is police. They met those stakeholders and they agreed that no, close the shop whilst we investigate your status, whether you are here legally, to whether you are in economic, whatever, you know, these things. And then three, whether, how did you buy, get this house? But whilst there was that agreement, they then ran to the refugees office in Pretoria, where they were told about their rights. They came back, they opened the shops, and there was violence. So my take is that when you grant these foreign nationals any status, because there is no education, no publicity in terms of who is this person, and what is the status of this person as they become economically involved, like now it's spreading, because people, residents were telling us that this is just a drop in an ocean. As it happens, the Freedom Park is going to be all over, because where there are RDP houses or where there are informal settlements, this is what you find. And definitely that was in February. Now in May, it has spread all over to say people are saying now close and close and close and close. So it does not only need you, but it also needs this network with the police, with the human settlement, and yourselves. So the question of monitoring and educating even themselves, and also tightening up the relationship with the refugees office in Pretoria, because that's where they just tell them to undermine the our regulations. The other one is on the 46 health facilities, which you link hospitals and birth registration. As Honorable Rancho indicated that you are from provinces, I'm from Gauteng. We want to know what is the breakdown of this 46. Which are these hospitals where when you go out, before you go home, they pick you up, you must start by registering your child. So we want to, so that you can be able to advise, tweet and Facebook and say, do you know that? Yes. The other one is on the. I would just want to commend the staff with that deal with mobile units. That was in April. I just took a call and I organized five areas where there are informal settlements. Because that's where they don't have birth certificate and IDs. They went there within a wink of an eye, within 6 weeks intersection, they were there and they had people, but that is not enough. They should now have their own program of saying, this is where we go, we educate people, we market that people, and then they go there and have services so that they can be able to access grants and other things. The other one is on the skilled, capable workforce. To say we acknowledge that. However, I think it's the link between either the economic development, high education in yourself. To say as we receive these scarce skills people to help us here, I don't know whether we document them so that we can place them where they are needed. But also you give them special permits to be here and work. The worry for me is the question of to say they are here until they age. And as they are here, forever years, we don't have a program of how do we develop our own human capacity here. I have a cousin in Britain. She has been there 5 years, renew, now it's over. You see, other countries are very strict in terms of you are here for this year's scale, and as this year ends, you have to go back. And then maybe they have the strategy of how do they ensure that the transfer of skills, or they also bridge their own skills. The other one is on the, you have 126 additional health facilities connected. That's the plan of 2011 of this budget. We also want to know how are you going to break this 126 so that we know that it will go to my province in this area. The other one is on schools. Once you target grade 12, my previous life is I was a leader in education in Sacho, and the research and the practicalities was telling us that learners at grade 1, they are close to 800,000. Grade 9, it's pyramid. It means they either drop out immediately after getting grade 9 or when they start grade 10. So as I'm counting, if they have started school at age 6, at grade 10, they are 16 or they are 15. So if they started at grade 7, at grade 11, they are 16. And then they disappear and find them that they they don't have the ideas. So let us not wait until they get to grade 12, because there are very few. It's the pyramid. 500,000 they write grade 12, but the 500,000 again they disappeared within the system. So in improving the system, on you know long medium term, you can then not just only target grade 12. Last. Oh, let me then, I know you have mentioned, and I heard it on media, that you have closed Crown, and I know what has been Crown Mines happening there. But if my honorable member here talks about making an example of Western Cape, the same thing happening, what are the reasons of closing Crown Mines? And are there, maybe it's the West scenario in Joburg surpassing what is happening here? Because if you correct, you need to correct all over and put systems that will fasten this process. And if you are curbing corruption, let's know whether here offices are running corruption that is an over, there's an influx. Thank you. A minute, we don't have time.
Okay. I just want to know who. 50%. Does a child of 15 years get an ID document, the document itself, or he or she must apply and wait until the time comes, the time is right for him or her to get the ID? Because I've got a child who was born in 1995, the 20th of December, she's carrying an ID.
Can you have responses, please?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think how we're going to do it, we're going to start with the first questions and go like that, so to make sure that we do not miss anything. Chair, let me start with the questions from the Honourable Member, but what about all the other questions. Let me start with the education. Education was an example, which we just quoted.
Okay.
And also what we are saying in education, there are schools which have been abandoned, which have not utilized. And those schools is the one we want to go to. There are also, in the rural area, they call it tribal authorities.
Yes.
So we are looking at all those areas. And even if you look at the money we have, it's only 216 million. So that's what we made. We're making an example as education that we'll talk to them, then they say to us, that particular school is no longer used, go to it, and then we will go to it. That's what we made. Then the issue of the smart card, which might link with all the other questions around smart card. You remember, a smart card needed a particular infrastructure. If we don't have that infrastructure, which we are thinking that at the time when the department said we'll implement a smart card is the end product of the infrastructure. If we don't have a large infrastructure, as we speak, we've got only 40 offices in the country which are having a smart card. Hence, the smart card was look like it's not moving. That's why even now we are saying a smart card will be piloted after we've gone to cabinet. That's why our priority says that. Because the cabinet, which might link in with another question, we must go to the cabinet and say an identity document as the first issue is free. Now, when you give a smart card, I want to regard it as a first issue or not. If you don't recognize it as a first issue, who's going to pay the cost? Because as much, I mean, the ID now is about 140 rand, which you talk about. We have not yet costed the smart card, so I don't know what price it will be, but
it might be equal to the ID, it might be less, or it might be more, but we need to go with those things to the cabinet first. That's why now I say we want to approach the cabinet so we can deal with the issue of the smart card. The interesting one is this issue of the refugees. In fact, what we are saying as a country, we think that in 1994, as a country, the issue of refugees was not regarded as an issue. Again, I will demonstrate what did we do. We removed defense from the border line. We did not look after defense in the border line. We even said police must go and guard our border line. It's because of a particular history which we have. Because at that time, in 1994, we did not see the issues of refugees as an issue because of our history. Now, we are going back on those things now. We have already now started to send defense back to the borderline so that now we can be able to deal with this. Secondly, which is a major issue, we did not have a differentiation between economic migrants and real refugees. So in South Africa, we think that we had more pulling factors for people to come to our country, which is not in totality the issues of refugees. That's why now we're sitting and say, why would we say China is producing refugees? How can we say Bangladesh is producing refugees? Even our own neighboring countries are not producing refugees. There are countries which we know that they are producing refugees. But because of our understanding, based on our history, our system was open for everyone, is a free for all. That's what it was. Secondly, when we deal with this thing of refugees as well, then the system, that's why we called these sections, but I hope I'm not going to miss the numbers, but when I mix it, we've got a permit, which it ends up as a permit, which says, once you present yourself in a port of entry, I issue you with that section 22 permit. As I say, I wish I don't mix them. 23 permit. That permit, which is what we're saying, other countries are not doing that. It allows that person to work, to study, before his or her status have been determined. And now the interpretation, which was even looking at it further now, does work also means opening a business.
Yeah.
All those things were done by us because of the history we have. Other countries are having what they called processing centers. Once you come through the border, you go to a processing center. You will only be able to move out after your status has been determined. But in South Africa, you cross the border, I have to give you everything. Now the question is also what we thought was the reason to maybe make that section 23 like that is because when we are in the processing cell, you don't have anything. Then the UN is able to come and give you assistance in terms of food or whatever. Now in South Africa we do not have, so that person is going to eat what? Hence enough that section 22 was given that. It's creating problems for us now. We understand that. So why are we having long queues in our refugee centers? It's really an issue of abuse in the true sense of the word. If you compare the number which we have, that's why. Why our people now are going to the refugee centers and they are that number and all that? It's because the people now knows that in South Africa, that's why we put these amendments, if you remember, on the immigration. They're going to resolve some of these issues. People come to South Africa as a visitor. A visitor's permit allows you 90 days. Once that 90 days expires, the person now knows, but hey, in South Africa, I can go and change my permit. Let me go to the next refugee center.
No.
I go and chew there and say, now all of a sudden, I'm an asylum seeker. So how can you come to the country with a visitor's permit? You've got a passport, you've got everything. Then after that, then now you are able to come now and become an asylum seeker. So that is the problem.
Just a minute. Can I can see you talk with passion given with your presentation.
Yes.
We are going to be depleted just
the time, yes, okay. Okay. Now let me
it's what?
Yes, yes. But what I was explaining on the issue of the, I suppose it's the biggest problem which we have, so I wanted the members to understand that. The issue of the lost ID, yes, we realized that issue during the elections, because it was the system was linking the two, that at the time you apply for an ID, you must also apply for a temporal ID. But we realize that there are people which at the end goes back to the issues which we had. Why people are not collecting their IDs? We find that people are not interested in an ID because that ID is not lost, but that ID was misplaced or whatever. So now we have started as a department to de-link the two. So now you will be able now to go and apply for a temporal ID and don't apply for an ID. Then the cost, because remember costing is done on variables. So now the temporal ID is going to be cheaper than the ID because there you don't need a book, you don't need to go to headquarters, you get your temporal ID in the spot. So what we're doing as a department, we're delinking the two, and the temporal ID will have its own price, but we're calculating that. So I don't want to say it's going to be this much. So we're still calculating it. Once we finalize it, then we'll be able now to announce it. But those two are delinked now, after the election, because that's what we learned. Then I go to the issue of, Honorable Member Rando, the issue of Yanceville. I think we need to get that information. Why did we establish stakeholder forums? Was exactly for that reason. Because us, we cannot know those things there, but by people coming to us, we are able to understand that. And there is a particular project in the department which is looking at registering the children of the former exiles. Because when you go to the office, people will be interpreting the law as it is. But once we get that information, because it's a different, difficult case, then we're able, us at that level, to apply our mind and be able to look at those children. So if we can get that information, send it to me, I will give you my number, and then we'll be able to deal with it. Border areas. This is the project of Home Affairs. We've already started it, but around Mpumalanga. And there was even a meeting which was in the Eastern Cape around Matatiel, where we went there and said, we want to profile, but want to make it a difference between the Zimbabwe project and this. Because Zimbabwe project were documenting, but now we want to profile so that we know who is around the border area, for what reason, what can we do, and also that project is there, but we piloted it in Mpumalanga. After that, we're going to go to the Eastern Cape. The other issue is this issue of requirements. If now we go to our offices now, because the requirements are in the internet, are in a book, our people, they don't go there. we've pasted them now in our offices. Next to our numbers, we'll see the requirements. But at the moment, we decided on an ID, a passport, and the marriages. But we want to do that so that people, they don't depend on that official over the counter. Must look there, read for himself or herself, and says, no, this is the requirement, I want to know that. And then only the radio programs, that's what we also want to go and run and put that. Mobile trucks, we have got now a contract to make sure that those satellites are managed. We want to do that per province. That's why I was able to say to you, we look at them, they are aging. We are monitoring them. We know that we've got 117 mobile trucks. We want to keep tab how many are working and how many are not working per month, so that we've got a problem to manage that. Space in the hospital in terms of registering children from other areas, we understand that. Hence, we are not saying children are only registered in hospital. Also, why we're saying to our people, go to the communities. Don't sit and wait for people to come. So we want to look at the clinics and the hospitals and all that. But at the moment, we are connecting hospitals. But we want to look at the hospitals and clinics and make sure that people, they still go there. Temporary office for refugees which come back. What is the decision of the department on this? So remember, on the amendment, also we said, a person must get that permit within 5 days. What is our strategy? Is to move all the refugee centers next to the borderline. That is the strategy of the department. Because we're saying, once you do that, you will resolve this problem altogether. Because if we open these areas next to the business area or whatever, people will complain and say it's got a nuisance factor in it, an irritating factor, so everybody go and challenge the department. So the strategy at the end is to go and open it next to the borderline so that a person cross the border, go to the refugee center. Does not go deep into our country, because that's a problem we're sitting with now. So that's what we'll be doing to resolve that going forward. Age 15, what we want, that's why this, always there is this thing of saying, let's, if we can succeed on which we are succeeding, registering children within 30 days. You know what it's going to tell us, as the Honorable Chair was saying? I will know that the children have been registered in 2011. They will be 16 on which year. Then based on that, my system, like what happens in the license department. You get a letter from the Department of Transport saying your license must be renewed. We will do the same thing. Send a letter to that child and say, now you are 16, just come to Home Affairs. And so we can resolve completely this problem of ID. So at the moment, you can apply when you are 15. But that ID has to be issued to you once you attain that age of 16. But it might happen if there's a case like that, is what we're talking about, which we need to get those things and deal with it, whether there's somebody corrupt there for whatever reason and issue that ID. But the law is clear in terms of who must get that. Yes. Then there's the cost of the smart card to the citizens, as we said, that's a reason why we are going to cabinet in order to make sure that we take a decision on that. The issue of the vacant post for 17, and I will ask Avril to do that once I finish at the end. The short target of passports, why now we are increasing when it was like that? As I said, that these targets, we are amending them based on reality. Because when we were saying a passport will issue it within this number of days, the assumption was that then we'll have all our offices at a live capture. Now in 2011, when I'm sitting there and doing targets for this year, and I know that those offices are not there, they will be coming later, I can't leave that target like that. I must be able to adjust it based on the circumstances on the ground at that time. So that was the reason why we had to do that. Chair, I think we know the number of offices
Honorable, we know what offices do we have, where they are. The ones we're giving you is what we are adding as we go along. So I'm not sure. We know the number of offices, where they are, and all that. What WIO is costing and how it will influence. You'll recall that when we're doing this, we've got everything. We said WIO was at 4.5 billion, and then now we've settled it at 2.4 billion. In the 2.4 billion, we have got a cost to completion. So WIO is costed. We know what we have paid. What is left is there in our budget. It's just to go and complete it. So we know what. That's why now we said, even if you look at our financials, we said we have paid 548 million in this year. That's what is sitting on the budget. Last year it was 286. And then of the cost to completion will be this amount, which will still now work on it in terms of saying what will we deliver first from the other.
But that's the steps that you choose, please. We don't have enough time.
Yes, yes. Human resource, talk about the decrease, but I wanted to show you on which page, because what on the budget we have indicated that the human resources was the only effect which is reducing our budget share is only the issue of the World Cup, which I've explained. To say, if I'm looking at the, I want to go to that page, please. If I look at the budget of 10-11, compensation of employees was 1945, but for 2011-12 is going to be 2206. It shows an increase of 13.4%. That's actually, maybe I've looked at the wrong page. And then underspending on invoices received, Chase, what we're saying now, that what we're doing to make sure that does not happen in future. We are decentralizing the procurement process, and we've appointed now directors finance per province to make sure that they're looking after our finance. Oh, the Honorable Member Navabira has left, but I've explained the smart card, why it was not implemented. And then the IEC electronic voting system, as we know that IEC is a Chapter 9, yes, reporting to Home Affairs to the minister, but I think they come to the parliament and present their project. So, Somalis, I've talked about, which now when I link it with the issue of these businesses which we're talking about. Chair, this matter was taken to cabinet, and there was what we have done as Home Affairs. There is a paper which has gone to cabinet. We are working on it, which is something which is cutting across the department. As a JCPS cluster, yeah. Yeah. Minister of Justice has been appointed as the chair of that committee of the cabinet members, which are looking at across the problem of the refugees. That's what's going to happen. Chair, the advanced passenger systems, we were reporting it under progress. So it's already been implemented. So it's not something which we are going to implement, so we can delay. It's already there. So it is already implemented, so it doesn't have that effect. Chair, I also get responded on your issue in terms of the foreign nationals which are opening business and all that. But what we have done in Gauteng already, there is a stakeholder forum which has been established in Soweto, so that now we're working with it. It is Department of Labor, SARS, SAPS, Home Affairs, they're sitting together to work on this. It's already established there. Then the number of hospitals, I think we can give that definition. We'll send the list to the chair to get all that. And scarce skills, again, it goes back to what we're talking about. On this, we really want to deal with it, because us, we always think, I don't know, maybe we think that if we put the rules, people won't come. but they will come, but they just need to be regulated properly.
Yeah.
And because if we don't do that, it's going to create problems. But in the police, which we're working on, we're going to be dealing with that. Chair, I think that point of children which are disappearing and all that is something which I think is a point which we'll take it and look at it and we'll deal with it. Reasons for closure in Crown Mines is what was said, it cut across. It's not only in Crown Mines. So that's why now the strategy is to open this in the borderline to make sure that we cover that. Isha, can you deal with the issues of the post? And then if there's a question, I left.
Okay, just with regard to the question on the progress in relation to the posts, we have filled an additional 39 posts to date, which then takes the figure from 43% to 52%. With regards to the plan on the 1076, we had budgeted effective 1st of July, or the processes are in progress in terms of all recruitment plans, and we want to fill 419 effective 1st of July, which will then be 39% of the 1076.
Okay.
The question around the officers. I get that information from a research document. So if that information is incorrect, it is directly linked to the situation where we as members of the NCP don't have the documents to just check if this information is correct. And that is the problem this morning.
Okay, in closing, I just want to reiterate what the whip said. We have not had any challenge like where we had today from this minister. She has been cooperating, coming to all our meetings. Maybe today there was a problem. What you were supposed to do before we could ask, you should have put the apology up front, because she has been respecting this house. We would want to thank you for passionate presentation. If we had more time, we would have gone home just listening and engaging. And I think you are learning that these are issues that are touching our people there. And there are unintended consequences, breeding of the hatred and whatever between the South Africans and foreign nationals. That's an unintended consequence. The more we help in strengthening these loopholes, the better, so that we live as Africans and love each other. The meeting stands adjourned.